Good morning and welcome to church today. We're excited to see you here. We're excited, of course, to have all of you joining us by television. This is week three in a series of sermons that we're doing as part of what we call the season of creation. And so in the first week, we looked at planting. We looked at the way that we're part of God's creation and that we're all planted somewhere and we're supposed to bloom where we're planted. And then last week, we went from the soil up to the mountains, and we looked at how God can meet us there. And this week, in week three of our series, we go even higher, up to the sky. Hear now these words from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now stop and let that sink in for just a moment, those words. We start off boldly in verse 1 of this passage of Scripture. The heavens declare the glory of God. Those words were written by King David, an ancestor of Jesus. And David, he looks to the heavens. He doesn't look to the spiritual heaven where we go when we die, but he looks to the literal heavens above his head, and he sees God's glory there. He sees it in the blue sky. He sees it in the sun. He sees it in the clouds. He sees it in the sunrises and in the sunsets. He could see it in the night sky too. He could see it in the brightness of the moon, in the awe of the starry sky, and in the cloudy spread of distant galaxies. Now these together, their size, their awe, their grandeur, they showed to David, and not just David, they showed to David and all who would see that the God who created all of this is glorious. And this is evidence of his glory. This is evidence of his glory. The heavens declare it, the glory of God. And briefly for a moment, I want to kind of unpack that for a minute and just some of the ways that God is glorious through that part of his creation. First of all, he's glorious in his size. He's glorious in his size, having created something so big and so vast as what we see up in the sky. Another psalm, Psalm 147, says, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Counts the number of stars. He knows them all by name. Our God is a big God. He's glorious in his size. And we need look no further than the sky to remember that. Secondly, today, it shows us that God is glorious in his engineering, having created something that works together so well. I read a paper this week. It was written by the chair of an engineering department at a prominent university in this country. And what he said is, he says, through engineering, we have been able to create many things that are spectacular, many things that function really well, many things that, that make life better. But he said, nothing, nothing have we ever engineered is as perfect and as intricate as what God has engineered. How nature works together, how the rain falls and the sun rises, it's all marvelous in its engineering. Thirdly, God is glorious in his goodness and kindness, having created something for all of humanity to see. For all of humanity to see. It's not just for some. It's not just for the privileged to be able to see this glorious display, but all of humanity sees it. St. Paul expands on this in Romans 1, verse 20, when he says, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that they are without excuse. Paul's reminding us that, that we see evidence of God all around us. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know if there's a God or there isn't a God. But as the psalmist reminded us, the heavens declare the glory of God, the evidence of God, the glory of God, it's all around us. And Paul says we can see it. And if we don't acknowledge it, you and I, well, we have no excuse. Even before that, we go back to ancient philosophy. A lot of people, they take their cues from ancient philosophy, right? Well, Aristotle wrote these words. He said, should a man live underground and afterwards be brought up into the open day and see the several glories of heaven and earth, he would immediately pronounce them the works of such a being as we define God to be. Aristotle imagined what it would be like to be born or captured at a place where one could not see the sky above and suddenly be exposed to it and what that would be like and how somebody would have to acknowledge that, wow, that was created by God. It's awesome. It's marvelous. And it's something we take for granted. In this part of the world where we're located, we have majestic mountains all around us. And I grew up here. And when I was a kid, I remember people would come to visit and that sort of thing, and they would talk about how beautiful it was here. Wow, you live in such a beautiful place, but you know what? I didn't see it because I took it for granted. I'd always seen it. It wasn't until later in my adulthood when I moved away from it that I began to appreciate it. I began to miss the color green. And I came back to it. At another point in my life, the same thing happened. I moved to the sea. I moved to the beach. And when I first moved to the beach, every day I'd be like, wow, this is beautiful. This is a wonderful place to live. Look at the water. Look at the way the sun reflects off the water. Look at all of this. But after a while, I stopped seeing it. And people would come to visit, and they would remind me. They would say, wow, what a beautiful place you live. We're like that, aren't we? We're like the person Aristotle talked about who's living underground, who fails to see the majesty, the awe of what is right in front of us. The heavens declare the glory of God for you and for me. Let's resolve this day to notice it. Let's resolve this day to celebrate it. and to be in awe of it and the one who created it. Moving on this morning. God is glorious also in his artistry, having created something so beautiful. When we gaze at the beautiful blue sky or the sunset and realize that God designed it, it is easy to be impressed. God is an artist. But when you and I, when we look at our own lives, when we take our gaze from the heavens and we start to look in the mirror, well, it's easy to forget that God is an artist. But I'm here to tell you today, my message for you today is that God, the artist, is making something beautiful out of your life. Now, you may not see the beauty now. At this very moment, you may not be able to see it, but God, the artist, he is creating something in you. He's creating something tremendous and spectacular. You were created for a purpose. The Bible says, you and I, we are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has already designed. We can't forget that. God has already designed something special for you and for me. And God the artist, he wants you just to peel back the corner a little bit today. He wants you to look in the mirror and he wants to see it. Because as we go through life every day, and we just like when I stop noticing the glory of the mountains or the majesty of the sea around me, the same thing happens. You can forget that you are part of God's handiwork. You are a part of creation. And you're special. And God the artist has created you for a unique purpose. Next thing we get out of this psalm this morning, I want us to understand, you and I, is that we, thankfully, are not alone. Verse 2 says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Now let's first take the utter speech part. Now this language is actually a lot stronger in the Hebrew text than it appears in English. The image in the Hebrew text is literally of a gushing spring that pours forth sweet, refreshing waters of revelation. Day unto day utter speech. Every day, new revelation, pouring forth like a spring. God's word said, God's mercies are new when? They're new every morning, every day. New revelation, new insight, new purpose, every day. Then the reveals knowledge part. It's been pointed out by scholars that knowledge is well matched with night. Why? Why? Because without night skies, man until recently would have known nothing but an empty universe. You ever think about that? Sometimes we prefer the day to the night, right? We prefer the light to the darkness. But it is in the darkness, it is in the night sky, that God reminds us of a very important point. We are not alone. Had God not done that, it would have sent a message to all of humanity, ancient and modern, that there is nothing or no one out there. But God doesn't do that. God uses the sky to remind us that we are not alone, that this isn't all there is, that we're part of a larger story, that God created this special place among all of that just for us. And it's important, and it's unique. And it's a world that God loves so much that he sent his son to die for. We connect with that part of the story through the night sky. Finally this morning, we're reminded of another truth. Back in another part of my life, back before I had kids, I used to travel a lot more. I used to go and speak places or go to a lot of conventions and things like that. And that put me on a lot of airplanes. And I don't know if you've flown a lot, But just like I talked about how we fail to acknowledge things, if you fly a lot, it becomes very mundane and very routine. And you know, as you climb up in the airplane, you start to read or take a nap or whatever. And you don't really take the time to open the little window shade and look out the window. But there was this one time I was supposed to take off from a small airport on a small plane and connect to a bigger airport and get on a bigger plane so that I could fly somewhere far away and maybe connect again. It was one of those kind of days. And it was raining. It was thundering. It was lightning. It was one of those times where I looked at my watch and said, it's time to leave for the airport, but I'm going to leave for the airport, but I'm really not so sure that we're going to go anywhere. Severe thunderstorm alerts, the little sound, you know, on the radio that they make when they're giving severe weather alerts. All that was going on. And nevertheless, I gather my stuff from my hotel. I check out of the hotel. I get in my rental car. I go to the airport. It's raining cats and dogs. I get out my umbrella. I return my rental car. I go to the terminal. I check in, all expecting to have to wait, or to have my flight canceled or something like that. And so I sat there, I read my newspaper, and a funny thing happened. They didn't cancel that flight. I heard them start to board passengers at a certain point. I could see out the window. I could see that they were readying the airplane. And the rain is continuing to fall, and it's still thundering. And I'm like, well, you know, And so eventually I'm in like group four, and you know, they call me, and I get my stuff, and I get it in the little overhead bins, and I get it shut and all that. And by this point in the story, I am in a really bad mood. Why am I in a bad mood? Because if you've flown very much, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to get stuck. I could have been sitting in the terminal, but I'm going to get stuck sitting on the tarmac in this plane because the plane's not going to go anywhere. It's storming too badly. They decided to put us on the plane just so we could sit here for hours and sit on this plane. But that isn't what happened. As the story unfolds, the flight crew, they begin doing their final flight checks, and the seatbelt light goes on, and we begin to taxi and that sort of stuff. And I remember thinking, I can't believe that this plane's going to take off. I can't believe it because, I mean, the wind is going, you know, so harshly right now that the minute we start to take off, the airplane's just going to go like that. We can't take off in weather like this. But yet we got on that little propeller plane. We got to the end of the runway, and the engines, they begin to rev up and all that stuff, and the plane begins to shake. And normally at this point in the flight, I'm reading or I'm drifting off or I'm doing something like that. I wasn't doing that. Neither was anybody else on that plane that day. Everybody was eyes wide open, looking around. Every window shade was up because everybody felt the same thing I did. It was completely quiet. You couldn't hear a pin drop. And the plane, it began to go down the runway, and it was revving up and more and more, and we began to lift off, and the plane was just going like that, left and right, and everybody's kind of hanging on and wondering, what's going to happen? As we began to lift up in the rain, and the rain is beating against the side of the plane and that kind of stuff, as we began to do that, and the plane's going like this and like this, eventually we get up into those dark clouds. And we're kind of in the middle of it. And at that point, you couldn't see anything. We didn't know what was going on. And in the plane's motors, we continue up, 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 until suddenly there's a gasp. Almost at the same time, everybody on the plane, they gasp. Why? Because we'd gotten above the clouds. And we saw nothing but blue sky and brilliant sunshine as far as the eye could see. Think about that for a minute. In your life today, there may be storm clouds. All around you, the storm might be raging. The winds might be blowing. The rain might be beating down in your face as you're trying to move forward. That might be going on. And in that moment, it's easy to forget what's going on just above the clouds. The God who pronounced peace be still to the storm, he's still up there. That there is calmness, There's light, there's beauty. It's just above the clouds, even when you can't see it. God is still there. God is still here. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. Always. Even to the end of the age. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you, the Bible says. Always. Just above the clouds. And we got to keep climbing. We got to keep moving. We got to keep getting there. We got to keep remembering that the heavens declare the glory of God. When we forget it, the heavens declare the glory of God. God is still there. God is with us. And God is for us. And God is with you. God is for you. God loves you. God wants to be with you forever. And the way that happens is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you'll seek him today. Because God loves you. God is there. Just look up. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing. God's speaking to you today. Come pray. Come accept Jesus. Come remember that God is still there. The altar is open. It's not my altar. It's God's altar. Let's sing.